Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
So this is kind of a normal way that my life goes, is I make a new friend who's from Texas. I meet him in Israel, and now he's sitting in the studio in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Gary Miller with the North Carolina Renewal Project. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Pretty funny. Here we are.
Well, not as funny as I thought it would be when I'm on the road and I find out that the Carolina Panthers steal my football coach.
So. Okay, so you got to explain that.
I'm going to rant for a while.
You got to explain that to everybody so they can feel your pain. Not that I'd normally quote Bill Clinton, but I will in this case.
I graduated Baylor University. No offense to anyone out there. But when I was at Baylor, we saw him win 4 games in 4 years. And now we finally get a winning coach. And somebody up here in the Carolinas decides, hey, we need him here.
Yes.
And, hey, he can't be bought, but he can be rented for $70 million.
Yes, I think that will usually get something done and throw that kind of money around. Anyway, it's great to have you here. It's great to see you. And
thanks,
Steve. Good to reconnect. You're welcome. And you're in North Carolina for a very important reason, but North Carolina isn't the only state that the Renewal Project has worked in.
That's right.
So we've got kind of that story to tell, kind of the American Renewal Project, the North Carolina Renewal Project, as well as your own background. So give us just kind of the skinny real quick on the North Carolina Renewal Project. And then for all of our North Carolina listeners, this is a very important show, a very important day to talk about politics from a biblical perspective and our role in all of that, which you guys have heard me talk about ad nauseum over the years, but that's not a subject that we can let go. So let's start with the American Renewal Project and then North Carolina, and then I want to hear your story.
You got it. American Renewal Project, you know, has a heartbeat for reaching out to pastors and encouraging them to engage in the public square. And our founder, you know, David Lane, has a heart for that. And more than that, he has a love for pastors. And my connection began in 2005 when Texas was up against a very challenging constitutional amendment that needed to be put on paper. So we would say marriage is between one man, one woman. And,
yeah.
And then that launched, and hundreds of pastors came out just with that challenge put in front of them, and they got that amendment passed. But it's so easy for folks to fall asleep at the wheel, and that happens if you don't stay vigilant. And our founder has put these kind of events out in at least 20 different states that I know of. I've walked with him through those, and the point is to just – pastors and spouses come to a 2-day event. They stay in a really nice hotel, and they get a good meal, and they are treated like royalty, and they're blessed. And from that standpoint, they don't have to put a dime out except their gas money to get there.
Yeah.
And he gives them a challenge from great spokespersons in the political arena as well as the historical arena and the biblical arena just to stand up. And he challenged them to go back and do something like stand-up Sundays that Jerry Falwell used to do, where he would ask people, everybody registered to vote?
Yeah.
Stand up.
Yeah, just
and he would hand
get
out
right at it.
Voter registration cards to everybody else. He'd fill one out right there in front of them. They'd collect them, take about 5 minutes. But he knew that he had to keep vigilant at keeping his people mobilized and ready to vote. Because if you're not registered, all you're doing is screaming at the TV.
That's right.
And so he understood that. And so that's something that the Renewal Project takes very seriously. And in 2015, about 10 years of those events, he came with a passion for the Issachar Project, which is just go right to pastors and say, would you pray about running for office and enter the political arena as a county commissioner, as a school board member, as a city council person, you know, getting involved and just being salt and light right there in your own community. And since 2015, there have been hundreds of pastors that have run for office and are now engaged in the public square. And so it's just something that is it's got the handprints of God all over, and we're just proud to be a part of it, a small part of it. But we enjoy mobilizing pastors just to introduce them to the opportunities they have to protect religious liberty.
Yeah, that's right. And being a good citizen of America is also being a good citizen of the kingdom when you
Absolutely.
Understand Scripture, is whether you want to start in Romans 13 or wherever you want to go. And it's loving your neighbor well. It's loving the Lord first and loving your neighbor well. And in a country where pretty much every law affects a whole lot of your neighbors, to not get involved is to not show any concern for your neighbor. I actually think personally it's a sin not to vote in our context because you just don't care about your neighbors. You don't care what's happening, and you're not willing to take that step. But I think oftentimes a lot of Christians struggle, think, oh, you know, the kind of that old notion that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics and there's something dirty about it. And I go, well, what other spheres of life are you taking yourself out of?
Exactly.
Because it's not comfortable sometimes.
Right.
But because it affects our neighbors, how can we not be there? And how can we not bring a biblical worldview into the voting booth? Because God's way is good for everybody, whether they like it or not, whether they agree with it or not. It is good for all of mankind. So to me, it's always been kind of a no-brainer. But that's not the norm for a lot of Christians.
Right. And I've just tried to put it before pastors this way, that, you know, this isn't about endorsing a candidate from the pulpit. This isn't about putting a sign in your front yard. This is about protecting Christian citizenship. And you know, the way I put it is these are the twin towers of religious liberty and Christian citizenship. And they're built on a firm foundation of a powerful prayer closet and a vigilant voting booth. And you need both.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're told to, exhorted to pray for those who are in authority. And I pastored a church where when Obama was elected, I handed out prayer cards. And we're going to write prayer cards to him and tell him we're praying for him. Mm-hmm. Didn't get one filled out. Came back the next week and said, look, I wasn't kidding. This is biblical proof here.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want John 3:16, you're going to have to take 1 Timothy 2:1-4.
There you go. Pray for those in authority over you, whether you voted for them or not.
I'm very passionate about this. It isn't about the who's in office. It's about God, who's in authority, and somehow those guys are under his authority. And,
that's right.
And we pray for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've run into that. There was one time I was speaking to about 60 or 70 Southern Baptist pastors in South Georgia. Obama was still the president. And I asked him, how many of you pray for, and I said his whole name just because I wanted to rile him up a little bit, Barack Hussein Obama every day. And nobody.
Yeah.
Okay, let me lower the bar a little bit. How many of you pray for President Barack Hussein Obama once a week? And I got a couple of hands. I said, okay, let me lower the bar as far as my conscience will allow me to. How many of you pray for President Barack Hussein Obama once a month? And I got up to 6. That was 6 out of 60.
Yeah.
And then whenever I do this, I look at my watch. I go dead silent for 10 seconds, which is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then I say, okay, in case you're wondering, in case you've forgotten that little feeling you have in your stomach, that's called conviction.
Exactly.
Because I'm pretty sure you know that God commands us to pray for those in authority over us, and you're not. So how can you expect God's blessings if you're not going to give him your obedience? We're going to pick it up there with Gary Miller from the North Carolina Renewal Project. Why North Carolina? What's going on here? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Waiting for a message in the sky, a miracle on the side.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today on this beautiful Friday. Some big dates coming up. Of course, we have a primary in North Carolina on March 3rd. My good friend Dan Forrest is running for governor, and I am doing everything I can to support his candidacy, and he is the right man for the job. We need Cooper out. We need Dan Forrest in. We need solid people, men and women, in office all over the place. But every once in a while, God gives you an opportunity to get behind somebody that's not only a great politician and a great person, but it also loves the Lord and operates out of a biblical worldview, and that's exactly what Dan Forrest is doing. But he does have a primary challenger. It's not a big deal, but you can't ignore it.
Right.
You ignore these things and they become problematic. So there's a primary on March 3rd, which we need to be involved in. And if you haven't registered to vote yet, first of all, repent. Shame on you. I don't mind. You know I'm saying that because I love you. I love God more, so I'm not afraid to kind of get in your business a little bit. But you can register and get registered to vote, but you have to do that by February 7th. Go to North Carolina, the State Board of Elections, which is just NCSBE. Okay, Evan, throw that up there for me on Facebook Live, if you would, please. North Carolina State Board of Elections, ncsbe.gov, and you can put in your information, and you can get registered that way. Sadly, these are self-professed Christians nationwide. 50% of them are registered to vote, which means 50% of them are not. These are self-professed Christians. In a presidential election like we have this year, about 24 or 25% vote, which means about 75% do not. In an off-year election, about 12% vote, which means 88% do not. In a primary election like we're looking at on March 3rd, only 5% of self-professed Christians bother to show up, which means 95% do not. that is quite plainly dereliction of duty. It's a violation of neighbor love, which is a violation of God love. And I've always been comfortable saying that's flat out a sin. And you mentioned this. Gary Miller's here with us from the North Carolina Renewal Project. Also, the American Renewal Project, they've been doing stuff all over the country. But we'll talk about why he and his wife are here in North Carolina. But we have an obligation. You were talking about this before, kind of the twin towers of our role here is prayer and then voting. That's the minimum acceptable level. And for some people, to run for office, whether you're a pastor or not, but to run for office, maybe to be an activist like I am and like you are. But how'd you end up in this arena? Because you mentioned you were a pastor, and most pastors don't end up doing what you're doing.
Well, I pastored for 40 years in NSI. Became involved, just started attending the Renewal Project events in Texas, and my friendship with the founder of American Renewal Project, David Lane, I just began to listen. And I was pastoring a church. It had taken us 3 years to get a building permit.
Wow, gosh.
And we were fighting City Hall, and all politics is local, and the smaller the town, the tougher the politics. And I was in a meeting with the planning and zoning, and they just threw our plans off the table and said, you'll never build that church here. And I went the next day to see the city manager, who is a friend, and my wife and I are very involved in the community. We pastor, and we also served as volunteer firemen, and I said, what am I have to do? And I don't want to sue my church, but I said, you realize this is against federal law. You can't deny us this.
Discrimination based on
I mean,
on
this
religion.
Isn't personal.
Yeah.
This is federal. And he worked out a way for us to get our building permit, but I came back to our people and said, I'm running for city council. I said, this should never happen in this town. And within a year, the city council was all members of our church. The fire department was all members of our church. And on it went. You know, it was sowing seed, salt and light, if you will, into the community. Yep. And it was a tremendous blessing to us as a church. And we began to be able to influence things in the city that were wrong, that needed to be corrected. Yeah. And
again, not just for the benefit of the church,
right,
or the benefit of Christians, but because every man and woman is made in the image of God, we care about everybody.
Well, people were getting overcharged in water. We fixed that. Yeah. I mean, that's you're ministering to the community. There are things that are wrong, and if you ignore them, they just keep getting worse. So that was my engagement in this political arena, and I didn't become a political hack. I ran for office 2 years, served, and my wife and I launched a prayer ministry that we conduct, Talk Less, Pray More. Mm-hmm. And with that avenue, we travel around the country, and we were invited to go to Israel with close to 40 pastors, and you were on that trip, and Dan Forrest was on that trip, and got to know his personal testimony. And I just began to talk to guys on the bus that were pastors and knew the lay of the land. I said, is this guy as for real as I think he is? And he's got a great Christian testimony, a lovely wife, and he loves North Carolina. He's an architect. He's not trying to make a career of this. But I just thought, hey, perhaps I can help.
Yeah.
And so guys started inviting us to do prayer conferences here. And while we're here, maybe we can help get some of these pastor gatherings put together where we pray for this these dates that you've mentioned where we need to get people registered
Absolutely.
To vote, or you're just screaming at the TV.
That's right.
I mean, stop screaming and get registered to vote.
There's a contracting company here in town that I paid attention to them years ago, and I own my house painting company. And on the front of their shirts, it just had the word whining in a red circle with a slash through it, right? So no whining. And then on the back, it said, you're not allowed to whine anything about anything that you're not willing to do something about.
Well, that's it.
And that's the deal. We all sit around and yell, and we watch Fox News, we listen to Rush Limbaugh, and we get our temperature up. But when people want to engage me in a conversation about politics, I go, okay, I'm happy to talk to you about it, maybe.
Right.
Let me ask you a clarifying question. Are you registered to vote?
Exactly.
Do you vote? Are you in the game? Well, no, I'm just frustrated. Okay, I'm not going to talk to you about this
until you get registered. There's no point. I've reached that point as well with people. That is the game, that if you're not going to pray for these folks,
that's right.
Whether you voted for them or not,
that's right.
You need to be praying for them.
Amen.
And then you need to get other people registered to vote. Once you are, start selling the story and getting everybody registered to vote, because that's Again, that's the foundation of our religious liberty.
Yeah, that's right.
And we need to be doing both.
Well, there's an event coming up next week here, and this is the first of many. There's going to be some of these are going to be around the state. But next Thursday, January 16th, it's in Jamestown, which is close to High Point. So it's kind of the triad area of North Carolina. A pastor gathering at the Vertical Church, which is in Jamestown, North Carolina, from 10:30 to noon. That's Thursday at January 16th, which is sponsored by the North Carolina Renewal Project. And the website to get there is just jamestownpastors.eventbrite.com. We have that link up on Facebook Live right now, so you can come find about it that way. If you're a pastor or if you are a member of a church, you go to a church and you want to get your pastor there, that's where you got to start. You got to get them to come out and pray and learn about primarily getting people registered to vote. Is that the main goal? Prayer? And then engagement.
Absolutely. If you do both of those, then you're giving yourself some guidance when you go into the voting booth. And most people know what the right thing to do is. If they've been sitting under Bible-based preaching and understand what right and wrong is. They know what life is,
yeah.
And they know what murder is. And every state could use a healthy dose of those kinds of people moving into the voting booth to make sure you're choosing the right people. That have not, as we discussed earlier, not their values, but God's values.
Yeah. Now, I'm on the radio partially because I'm very cynical. Okay, so I'm very cynical. I've dealt with pastors for about 17 years now as an activist. But my assumption is that most pastors are uncomfortable with the political process. But I want to ask you, as a pastor, and we're coming up on a break, so I'm just going to set this up and we'll talk about it on the other side. Number one, are most pastors uncomfortable with politics? And number two, why? And number three, what can we do about it? Specifically, what are you guys going to be doing about it? The North Carolina Renewal Project at these pastor gatherings. Next Thursday, January 16th, 10:30 a.m. to noon, for you if you're a pastor, or for your pastor if you go to a church, you need to get your pastor invited and get them there. It's in the Triad area of North Carolina. JamestownPastors.Eventbrite.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here with a new friend, but an eternal friend. You're stuck with me, Gary.
Absolutely.
Gary Miller's here from the North Carolina Renewal Project, and he and his bride are up from Texas. What part of Texas did you guys drive up here from?
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
The Big D.
That's
are you a Cowboys fan?
I am always a Cowboys fan.
Do you have a choice when you're asked that question?
You know, I haven't had that choice. I've been a fan since I was 10 years old, and, for 60 years, I'm an addict.
Yeah, you are. That's good, though. I mean, that's all right. I'm not usually a big fan of addiction, but when it comes to the Cowboys, I'll look the other way on that one. I grew up a Cowboys fan. I was born in Weslaco, Texas, way down south.
I know where that is.
In the Valley. My parents met at University of Texas, so I'm a Longhorn. My cousin Vance, thank you for that. My cousin Vance, who's watching us right now on Facebook Live, is an Aggie. His sister's an Aggie. His parents are Aggies. So we all used to live in Washington, D.C. For a few years, our lives overlapped. His father worked at the Pentagon, and back in the day, the Longhorns would play the Aggies on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, I remember those days.
Which was supposed to be a lovely family day, right? It's Thanksgiving Day. That's where I learned all kinds of new words.
Yeah, die heretic.
right. I love you. I know you're my cousin and everything, but you're obviously a heretic, and they're calling us the same exact thing. So, yeah, rich history there. But my father, interestingly enough, was in Germany during the occupation. Finished up officer candidate school right at the end of the war, was in Germany during the occupation, came back, went to the University of Texas on the GI Bill, met my mom there. And then he worked for LBJ.
Wow.
So he was in television. That's when he met and had lunch with Billy Graham and got involved with the communications world. And he was never on this side of the microphone like I am, but just growing up around that. And we were raised, because my father was a member of the Greatest Generation, with a very healthy respect for the military, for the nation, for the blessings of our liberty. It wasn't a drum that was beat often, but I think for the Greatest Generation, that was just normal.
Mm-hmm.
That was not so much anymore. The younger generation, it's difficult. I think we write off the millennials and the Gen Z too easily. I don't know what you were like when you were 16 or 18 or 20, but I was an idiot. And it took me a while. I was amazed at how much my parents learned by the
Absolutely.
Between my your 21st year of age and by the time I was 30, I'm like, wow, did you guys go back to school or something? Because you're pretty smart people. But I don't want to write off the younger people. because they're going to go through the same process that we've gone through. But I wanted to talk specifically, Gary, about pastors, because you've been a pastor, then you got involved with city government because you were having some problems with your city government, then you actually became a member of the city government, and other people from your church did. And I said before the break, my assumption is that most pastors struggle with politics. They don't really want to go there. So number one, is that true? And number two, assuming it's true, why is it true?
I believe they struggle with it. There are a couple of different reasons I would like to suggest. One, at least from my denominational heritage, for years we've turned separation of church and state upside down, and which somehow became, under LBJ's influence, a pattern in our churches where you stay away from all that. And
the so-called Johnson Amendment.
The Johnson Amendment was no friend of pastors being involved in politics. And by involved in politics, I mean simply preaching truth and encouraging people to vote.
Yeah.
And so a lot of guys started backing away from that. Even my father, who was a pastor, a godly man, that was something he was just very adamant about. You know, you don't ever mention that in the pulpit. You don't ever, you know, try to guide people in that direction.
And in a twisted kind of way, without really understanding that it's the specter of that law, not the actual law itself. I would imagine many of them thought, we're rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. We're being good citizens by obeying the law, and the law says we're not supposed to talk about politics.
And there is that. And my dad, he'd get wound up over liquor by the drink campaigns.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why they couldn't win. Well, you're not registering people to vote.
Right, exactly.
So you've been telling them to stay away from all this, and now all of a sudden we're going to stop gambling, we're going to stop liquor by the drink. And, you know, it just seems like they've confused self-muzzling with turning the other cheek.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a dangerous thing to do. And there's slowly but surely I'm seeing a turn in that. And I think guys are beginning to look at the culture wars that we're involved in, and it doesn't take long to realize that.
Which is real. I know that can sound to some people kind of passe. That was the 90s. But no, we're still in a culture war.
We're still in
today.
It. And if people roll their eyes at me when I talk about things like that, like, you know, you're some conspiracy theorist. But the fact of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with preaching biblical values and praying for God to give you direction and voting biblical values. And if you stay on that consistent pattern, you're not crossing into dangerous ground. Where we've all seen somebody that Billy Graham went through this. He endorsed Nixon, and it really hurt
blew
him.
Blew up in his face.
Blew up in his face. And so those things happen. And if guys want to do that, it is a free country. I believe you have the freedom to do that in your church.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for guys that are looking at that, at one guy's way of doing it is the only way, I would just continue to encourage them that there's got to be a way that this fits your church and fits you and gets the job done.
Well, that's why I mentioned those numbers earlier, Gary. We're talking to Gary Miller from North Carolina Renewal Project. They're working with pastors around the state. They just got here literally, and he and his wife moved up here from Texas. They're here hopefully through October or November with the main election. We've got a primary election coming up that we all need to be a part of here in North Carolina on March 3rd. You need to register, though. If you're not registered to vote, you need to get that done by February 7th. Just go to North Carolina State Board of Education website. It's just ncsbe.gov. Or just go. You just Google, how do I register to vote or register to vote in North Carolina? You'll get there. It'll be the top choice. And it's easy, and you got to get involved. But as we look at the role of the pastor and the role of Christians, I think also pastors, some of them, I don't know their hearts, it's you can take advantage of that specter of the law, that so-called Johnson Amendment, to avoid having to deal with some of the blowback you're going to get, because you're going to have some people in your Southern Baptist church, your Catholic church, your Assemblies of God church, whatever, your non-denominational church, you're going to have some people there on Sunday that usually vote left, and they're voting for pro-abortion candidates and stuff like that. And if all of a sudden you're speaking and preaching clearly on the issues from a biblical perspective, you're going to run into some trouble. Now, if you say, I'm not allowed to talk about politics, then you just avoided that, which is convenient. But a pastor's not called to be interested in convenience. You're called to be interested in truth.
But it's not the safe way to go.
Right.
I mean, you're yielding. Anytime you live your life in the fear of man rather than the fear of God, you think you're taking the safe path, but you end up being devoured by something that is like a little kitten, and you're stroking that, you know, out of your comfort zone. And then the more you stroke that, it turns into a lion.
Right.
And so you just have to fear God and not fear man. And that's why the prayer dimension of this is not a panacea. It's not a it's not foolproof. I've prayed and not been given.
Sure, of course.
Or chose rightly. I mean, it's not a foolproof thing, but, you know, when my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, we thought we knew something about prayer. And I'll tell you, the battle with chemo and cancer surgery and all of that took us down a road where what else have we got left? I mean, we finally had to stop talking and start praying. We just, you know, and that's why I just say, hey, tap out. I mean, you quit yelling at the TV. My car insurance man said, you got to stop watching Glenn Beck. You're crashing your car into a tree every day. And so things like that.
Yeah.
Pastors get into this helpless mode, and prayer for us has become a way where we realize that what looks huge to us shrinks in God's hands.
That's
when
right.
we place it
Amen.
In His hands, that's where I think
so
pastors
good.
Need to be with this.
Well, next Thursday, I mentioned this again. If you're in the Triad area of North Carolina, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, Jamestown is right there in the mix of that. Next Thursday, January 16th, from 10:30 a.m. to noon. This will be the first pastor gathering this year here in North Carolina, specifically around the primary and then the general election. It's Pastor Matt McCarthy there at Vertical Church in Jamestown, North Carolina. And this is right off the Eventbrite website. Okay, so you just go to Jamestown Pastors. Eventbrite.com. Or if you just go to Eventbrite and look up Jamestown Pastors, you're going to find it that way. But it's JamestownPastors.Eventbrite.com. This is reading right from the page. This gathering is meant to encourage pastors to prepare their people to protect religious liberty and strengthen Christian citizenship by utilizing the prayer room and the voting booth as we fight for the soul of America. And we are. We are fighting for the soul of America.
Absolutely.
We're talking
we
about the unborn. We're talking about religious liberty. We're talking about the ability to speak freely in the public square, about the things of God, to bring our opinions into it. A lot of things have come out of the closet, and the culture has tried to push us into the closet. Scripture makes that perfectly clear. I used to be, and Gary, I don't know if you've ever struggled with this, I used to be very, very angry. I was very, very angry at the left. I was very, very angry at homosexuals, transgender, whatever. Anything that was in opposition to the clear teaching of God's word in any way, shape, or form. And my anger was misplaced. And so God dealt with me. I've done a lot of things with Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusade guys.
Yes.
We did a big crusade here in Raleigh in 2007. Because we were pretty active in activism, it was Call to Action was the organization name at the time, we kind of built that crusade effort on the back of Call to Action, which we were all about politics. Then all of a sudden, we're supposed to be all about evangelism. And it was, I got to tell you, it was harder to get Christians in your average church in the Raleigh area involved with evangelism than it was to get them foaming at the mouth about politics.
Wow.
And I looked at it at the time and go, well, I'm part of that problem because I was the cheerleader. I was paying all kinds of attention to the political realm, to the culture war, and to these issues that are important, but I had forgotten evangelism. And through all that, God changed my heart. He said, hey, Steve, if a blind guy walks up to you on the street, bumps into you, you're going to be mad at him? And in my piety, Gary, I'm like, well, of course not, Lord. And he goes, why not? And I go, because he's blind. Oh, oops.
Yeah.
I'm mad at blind people. We have one enemy. His name's Satan.
He's right all the time, isn't he?
He's right all the time. God is right all the time. What we can do, what we're called to do, voting, all of that. Pastors, especially you pastors listening in your churches, if you're in the Triad area, we'll keep talking about that with Gary Miller. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with Gary Miller from the North Carolina Renewal Project. Next Thursday in the Triad area, and they're going to be doing these pastor gatherings around the state. So we'll continue to talk about it. It'll be a regular part of what we're doing here on the show as we're kind of the campaign that we started back in November internally here on the show is kind of bringing it home instead of focusing on our impact around the nation being on in 13 different states to begin to whittle that down and really focus on North Carolina, focus on our Jerusalem and our Judea. Because I was on national radio, I took myself out of a lot of ministries and things that were going on here, not just locally in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, but around the state, and just really felt the Lord leaning on me about that. So we decided to be a laser instead of a shotgun. And so things like these pastor gatherings with our friends at the North Carolina Renewal Project is going to be a regular thing that we're going to be talking about, focusing more on our backyard. I started as an activist in North Carolina. God really blessed that. We were very effective. And as I got more into radio, I thought surely somebody else will come up. And there's other organizations. There's group North Carolina Values Coalition, which is awesome.
They are.
With Tammy Fitzgerald and John Rustin over at the North Carolina Family Policy Council, but kind of a gunslinging independent, not speaking politically, but independent from those organizations. Gary, you probably know this. When you have a radio show, you have a platform, I'm not tied to an organization right. like that. So I'm a little more aggressive than many of them can be. And it's just a different part of the wall. We all have a place on the wall going back to Nehemiah. And which, by the way, I don't know. We weren't talking a whole lot on the trip to Israel back in October. But when we were walking along the City of David and Rob McCoy what was our Yuval,
mm-hmm.
our Jewish guide. Was that? Oh, well, see, right there and that level there and below that level, that's Nehemiah's wall. And that's what got me into this ministry in the first place, was a pastor, Mark Harris from Charlotte,
right.
came up here to Raleigh, preached a revival. I grew up Presbyterian. Revival sounded like a freak show to me. I didn't even want to go. But our Southern Baptist pastor leaned on me pretty good. And so I went, and Mark Harris on that Saturday night preached about Nehemiah and the wall. And he preached a story very similar to yours, something that happened in Augusta, Georgia. And he decided, hey, let's pray about it, but let's show up at some zoning meetings. He took 40 people to the first one, 80 people to the second one, and 400 people to the third one. And they won. So he talked about Nehemiah realized that it's an emergency, and emergency requires immediate attention. Then he just talked about the Christian's role in the culture here and politically. And that's what got me going, literally 3 weeks later, showing up at a Raleigh City Council meeting with 350 people.
Right.
And engaging. And it was Nehemiah's wall. So on that trip, to be confronted with the actual wall was profound, to say the least. So thank you for all of your involvement in that trip. That was life-changing for me.
I was honored. Just to be with the guys from North Carolina. And, you know, the thing I appreciate the most about that trip was the spirit of the guys together. Mm-hmm. And we were from, gosh, I forgot how many different denominational groups and mm-hmm. Church of God and Independent Baptists and Southern Baptists and Wesleyan and, you know, we're lucky a riot didn't break out. I mean, but we kept laughing together and enjoying each other's company. It was just a little slice of heaven.
Yeah,
you know, because, you know, it's just going to be different than perhaps we all think it's going to be when we get there. But, yeah, great experience.
Yeah, it was amazing. And everybody concerned about the state of the nation and concerned about our particular state, in this case, North Carolina. And because we love the Lord and you love your neighbor as yourself. And so we should care what's happening to the culture, which is largely through the political process, which is why you're here and what's going on. So tell us kind of what the plan is. What's the North Carolina Renewal Project going to be doing? We have the first pastor gathering next Thursday at 10:30, that's in Jamestown, which is near High Point, kind of the triad area of North Carolina. JamestownPastors.Eventbrite.com. What's the plan overall?
The plan overall is we're going to have Rob McCoy come in, and he's someone who is a Calvary Chapel pastor, Godspeak Calvary Chapel, and he's going to just share with guys what the constitutional issues are from a pastor's perspective. And he was also mayor of Thousand Oaks, California, during two very difficult times.
When that shooting occurred a little over a year ago. Yeah,
exactly. And then the fires that broke out. And I was at a wedding there back in April of last year and saw the scars left on the hillsides and homes. God just planted him as a man of God in the midst of that. And he had people on the council and people in the city said, never thought I would say this to you, but a pastor is exactly what we needed as mayor of this city in the midst of all that crisis. So Rob will be sharing his testimony, and then we'll have just a challenge to the pastors from another pastor, local pastor, just, hey, this is what I do, you know, to register my people to vote and how I encourage them to pray for those who are in authority. And it'll be an hour and a half. We'll do another one on the 23rd in Raleigh, and then another one on the 30th in Charlotte and Raleigh. We'll be two in one day.
Excellent.
And so we'll keep that word on the website out to everybody and keep that word flowing to you.
So that's going to be on Eventbrite, but can they find that information at the American Renewal Project
that
website?
That is great. Absolutely.
And what's that address? What's that website name? Is it just American Renewal Project?
That is.
.org, probably? Yeah. So that's, so whether you're a pastor, if you're a pastor, unless you stumbled upon the show. All right, I'll give you a few. I'm not going to give you any outs. If you stumbled upon the show, that was Providence, and you're listening to it today because God's speaking to you. If you listen to the show regularly, then I don't need to bug you about any of this stuff because you would have been gone a long time ago if you didn't agree with where we're coming from. So you just need to find out when it's going to be close to you. So if you're in the Triad area, it's next Thursday, January 16th. Just go to JamestownPastors.Eventbrite.com, or we have it up on my Facebook page now, so you can find the link that way. But if you're around the rest of the state, then it's coming to you as well. But if you're not a pastor, which most of you are not, but you most likely have a pastor, One of the things that all right, I'm going to ask a pastor. Gary's been was a pastor for 40 years. Still a pastor. You never stop being a pastor. Do you like it when members of your church get involved, get active in the community on whatever level, and then they come to you and say, hey, pastor, could the church check this out? I'm involved here. Do you like to see people in your church getting active?
Listen, if I pastored for 40 years and only operated on my ideas, I'd have been in real trouble.
And great point.
And I understand that most pastors have to struggle. Is this a good idea?
Sure.
Or is this God's idea? But, yeah, I'm more than open to receive information like that. And that's exactly right. If there are people listening that have a pastor that just a word of encouragement goes
absolutely
a long way to somebody, we would pray for you and we would love to see you involved in something like this. That's maybe all a guy needs to push him towards this direction.
Yeah, so give us your advice as somebody who's been a pastor for over 40 years. If they're, a lot of people are going to be afraid to talk to their pastor about this because it's politics. They don't know what's going to happen. How should we approach you?
Here's how I do it, and I say this to people every time. In every relationship, it's a triangular relationship. Before you say something to someone, start talking to God first at the apex of that.
So good.
And then God starts speaking to them. And so by the time you speak to them about it, you find out that God's already been delivering that mail before you do.
Wow.
If I have another piece of advice, it would be don't attack a pastor with this information. Appeal to him. Mm. Because an appeal softens the heart, an attack hardens it. People get real intense about this kind of stuff, and there's just no need to burn bridges with one another. And I think that appeal goes a long way with a pastor.
Well, next Wednesday, I'll be sitting in my pastor's office to do the show, who happens to also be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. So J.D. Greer is my pastor.
Great
I go to the
guy.
Summit Church, okay? And J.D. and I are, we've been friends since 2006. And but we are iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
So we'll get together and have lunch, and 30 minutes will be footloose and fancy free, and it's just fun. And then we'll get into some issue, and then it's iron sharpening iron, and it isn't necessarily fun.
Right.
But we love each other. We love the Lord more, and so we're willing to have some conversations that are uncomfortable. But he knows I'm doing it for those two reasons, because I love him and I love the Lord. And so with pastors, that's such a good word to appeal to them, not attack them.
Right.
I think on political issues, I think most of us, unfortunately, will probably start with somewhat of an attack because we're upset. And we go, you got to do something about this. But that really doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And this is in every relationship, whether it be a husband or wife or whether it be people in the workforce that you're working with. When you engage God into your communication, you're getting on God's game plan. And if you've got a problem with somebody and you start praying about them, and taking that to God. God has a way of saying, let me show you, you know, some things in your life that you might want to clear up in order to
Before you start dealing with your pastor's speck, you might want to deal with that plank sticking out of your own eye.
Absolutely.
So that humility should always be there. But it's such a great reminder, and I'm glad you said that. I need to remember that myself. Before you have that conversation, whether it's your pastor talking about politics and just registering to vote and praying, that's all you're asking for. Hey, pastor. Let's talk about it. I'd love to do whatever I can to help to really encourage our church to, number one, let's pray for those in authority over us. Let's pray ahead of these elections. And then number two, just to register. You're not telling them to wear a MAGA hat in the pulpit. You're
exactly
not saying who to pray for. But you got to have that message, right? We don't want people to just go out and vote willy-nilly. You got to vote based on God's word.
And I think one of the things that I'd like to ask guys, if you're involved, think you're involved in politics, can you tell me who your city council members are? And because all politics is local. If you're not praying for those people who are making the decisions that affect your people just very, very close to home, you're not totally engaged in this process.
And so there'll be these ongoing pastor meetings, these gatherings around the state, God willing, between now and really all the way through October.
That is right.
Is that how do you feel about North Carolina so far?
I love North Carolina. I was here during the summer of 72. Didn't want to come back then.
Because it was the summer?
It was humid and they were teaching us how to play soccer.
No, this is coming from a Texan.
It was so that humidity just about put me down.
Some parts of hell are hotter than others. Is that?
I'll take your word for that.
You know, I don't have a word to give you on that one, bro. South Texas is about as close to hell as I'll ever get,
temperature-wise.
Praise the Lord for that. Gary Miller from North Carolina Renewal Project. So great to see you. So glad that you are in here. And thanks for coming to our state to help
us out. Thank you, brother.
You're very welcome. We'll keep talking about it. Rob McCoy just texted me. That's the pastor in California that we were just talking about. He's like, now? I said, dude, we're done in 2 minutes. I'll schedule him another time. He's awesome. Rob McCoy, you guys will
awesome.
Love him. He's awesome. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.